ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all sure it's all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then loop up and get on top.
A glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love. Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome back to another week of By the By. What are you laughing at?
Your energy level. It's like, woo.
Yeah, I have lots of energy tonight.
Yeah, and I am so tired.
I exercised and I had caffeine.
We're podcasting at 10 p.m. and I'm like, why are we still awake?
Meanwhile, I'm going to be awake all night.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. That's awesome.
My energy level matches that of the puppy who just brought me his ball because he wants me to throw it.
Yes, that's correct.
We're not going to do that.
No, that is also correct. Yes, sorry, I was just looking at, I know we talk about it all the time, but I was just looking at our Discord channel where one of our delightful participants has posted a couple of pictures that are very Courtney Love.
Oh, and yeah.
I always loved Courtney Love.
Yeah, they are. Cute. I like these.
Yeah. Rawr. Anyway, also, we have determined that we might need a exercise channel that is so that we can brag about and be held accountable for and support one another in our attempts to exercise.
Yes. Yes. An attempt to do something post-COVID.
Get her done.
Yeah. Yeah, so that might be a new channel upcoming.
Yes.
I actually thought you would have, created it already.
Look, I was gonna, and then, I don't know.
Then you didn't.
I didn't. I asked people if they wanted one. Mm-hmm. I got more than one response that was positive. Mm-hmm. And,
you can always do it, and then if people don't want it, they don't have to go there.
Yeah, well, I just didn't do it because I was tired. Mm-hmm. Lazy.
All right, well, we'll get that done.
Yay!
So hold on, Discord people. We'll get it for you. You'll probably even have it before this comes out.
Probably, because you're like, yeah. So, how's it going?
Good.
We have just recently gotten an email from the lovely folks behind Life on the Swing Set. Swing Set Takes Desire, 2021. It is officially gonna happen.
Yes, it's a go.
It's a go. Unfortunately, we are not going to go because it looks like we won't be able to leave Australia without a 14-day quarantine upon return until at least 2024. I don't know.
It's going to be a very long time.
It's going to be a while.
So, which, yeah. I mean, I get it.
But, yeah. It's depressing.
Yeah. So we will not be going to Desire this year.
But we still support you if you can go to Desire. Please send us pictures.
Yes, absolutely. Send nudes.
Send noodles.
Yeah. But they are, so the Life on the Swing Set, one of the caveats is that they are requiring people to be vaccinated.
I don't think that's a caveat. I think that's a smart thing to do.
I think so as well. Because they're trying to protect the entire community and not, some people in the community are at higher risk than others, and it's just the safe thing to do. It's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah.
So they are requiring that. If you want to go and you have any issues with that, contact them. They're happy to talk through things with you and see if there's a common ground. But I don't think it's a bad thing. So.
That is currently outside of the property of Desire.
You can go to Hito.
Yeah, that's right. So long, sucker. Yeah, so that should be, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
I'm sad jealous. That we'll miss it, but. Yeah. Whatevs.
I'm jealous and very much look forward to talking to some of our friends that do go and will be going and getting all the fun stories from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can do like a Zoom while they're there or something.
Yeah, because that's exactly what people want to do when they're at a sex resort.
It's not.
Zoom but, us you know, losers.
But I want to see it.
Anyway, we do at least have in, I'm opening my calendar, so when this podcast is released, mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, mm-hmm. when this podcast is released, in a fortnight, we will be on an airplane out west.
Yes, we're going to Western Australia.
Western Australia. So pretty excited for that. We're partaking in a RHP East meets West sort of lifestyle event takeover. So we may not be able to go to Desire, but we also don't have to wait till fucking November. So in your face.
We still get to be around sexy people.
That's right. Yes. Very excited for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. We know a few of the couples that are going and have met a few of the other couples that are going. And so, yeah.
And there's a lot of new couples to meet.
Yeah, it's going to be good times.
Yeah.
Very excited for that. We also get to do one of our little classes on the beach.
Yes.
Where we're going to talk about flirting and some icebreakers. So that's going to be good times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very, very much looking forward to that.
I cannot wait to get away.
We're going to be on a nude beach. It's going to be great.
I'm looking forward to, yeah, just the warmth, the sunshine, the beach, the people, just getting away from everything and relaxing. Mm. And
we're on vacation for like 2.5 weeks. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be lovely. It'll be so much fun. I really, really cannot wait because it has been so long since we've had anything like this. Yeah. And like you said, while we can't do Desire, this is a great thing that we can do here in Australia and meet a lot of local couples, both local, potentially around us, but then also within Australia and things. And we know that from Passion in Paradise that we've made very good friends with some of those folks.
Yeah.
So look forward to making some new good friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good. In fact, one of the couples that we're going out a week early so that we can tool around Western Australia with a couple that we met originally at Passion in Paradise. So, yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Yay!
So it's not just about sexy times. It's also about making lifelong friends.
The more you know. Thank you for coming to Angela's TED Talk.
It's a very short TED Talk.
Just like you.
Yeah, it's like a tea talk. We don't get the ed.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
How's that two-day-old wine over there treating you?
Oh, pretty good, actually. It does taste better aged.
So we found a bottle of wine. It's a random segue. We found a bottle of wine that it's great when you open it. Mm. But the other night, we only drank half a bottle of it. And then the next night, we drank it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so much better. And it is one of those that after 24, 48 hours, it's like really good.
And we have more of that. So we're going to remember that when we open it next time.
Yeah, just start opening it, let it sit out for it and close it. Yeah.
It'll be
fine. It'll be fine.
It's fine.
So the next Pendulum Party is May 28th.
Well done.
I don't know how
you
I remember that.
You didn't even look at your calendar.
I know. I looked in the air. There's no calendars.
Did you grab your boobs?
I shouldn't. I should have. I should have grabbed your boobs.
That's where the brains lie.
Between the two of us, we are a C cup. Oh, I'm sorry, a D cup in brains. Oh, God.
That's where you get D brains from.
Oh, God damn, you are in rare form. Okay.
Uh-huh. See, all I needed was exercise, caffeine, and a little bit of aged wine.
2-day-old wine. Does that count as aged? Jeez, oh, Pete. All right. Well, Miss, I'm not the funny one.
Do we have an actual topic for tonight, or are we just going to do this all night?
Let's talk about sex.
Baby.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about copywriting.
I was going to say, I don't remember the next line anyway.
Let's talk about you and me.
Okay.
I love it. I was like, just keep re-singing the original line. So we wanted to talk about, to the best of our knowledge and our fucked up, extremely limited, bite me, kiss my ass research.
Do we get to do that? Bite you and kiss your ass?
I mean, you might.
Okay.
Sure. Why not? I haven't showered today, so you might not want to kiss too much.
I can
bite too hard.
Yeah.
I can shower, I suppose.
Inconceivable.
Fuck you. It's been a day. So, yeah, we wanted to talk about sex and what happens to our bodies while we have sex. Okay, boys and girls, sit down and listen as creepy Uncle Bradford tells you a story. When we talk, what we're talking about is the, I'm going to say in general terms, penis and vagina sex.
Yes, heterosexual penis and vagina sex.
Yeah. This mostly comes from inspiration. We were inspired by a video that we saw on the internet. I know, stalker. By the infographics show on sex and our bodies. And so we wanted to kind of dig into that and, mm-hmm. well, we wanted to talk about it just a little. See, I'm trying to get my sexy voice on. It's not really working. I'm just like,
and what I think what you're getting at is more what happens physiologically with our bodies.
The chemistry.
And why do we exhibit some of the behaviors that we exhibit?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Because like there are there have been times in the often in the past, but even in the recent past where both of us wake up in the middle of the night and have trouble going back to sleep. And it's just like, are you awake? Yeah. Do you want to fuck? Yeah. Just because we both know it'll put us to sleep. Awesome. Cool. Problem solved.
So if you can't go to sleep in the middle of the night,
just give it a go.
Okay. So then question for you. If I'm not awake, do you masturbate and does it put you to sleep as well?
No, I don't just masturbate. I just lay there and toss and turn until I either wake you up or I fall asleep myself.
Okay. I was just curious if masturbation did the same thing.
Look, it does, but not to the same nearly degree. To the same degree. Yeah. And I think that's actually on my list of things to talk about. Maybe. Yes, it is. Spoiler alert. Yeah. So let's kind of take our drawers off and jump into it.
All right. I like taking drawers off.
Yeah. So we start first. I love Angela's cut. Like these just different personality styles here. You've got 5 different note cards in front of you with writing.
Little post-it notes.
Tiny writing all over them.
Because I couldn't find a big notepad, which I now see is sitting directly in front of me in this room, but it was not in front of me in the other room.
Literally one right behind your head. I got it out for you in the other room.
Well, it was not in front of me. It was behind me. I don't have eyes in the back of my head. The post-it notes were in front of me, so that's what I used.
I love it. And I have mine written on my iPad. Because, you know.
I'm not lucky enough to have an iPad.
There are 2 iPads. Both of them with pencils. Apple pencils.
Do we have 2 pencils?
Yeah. One's my work one. This one's my play one.
I'm unaware of but they're both yours. Well, can you, like, write with both hands at once?
Well, no, but I can write work with one and play with the other. Okay. So first, let's talk about penis havers.
Okay.
So my first favorite thing is like you, and we're not going to talk about arousal. If this podcast gets a good response, we can go back and talk about the chemistry of arousal because we were looking into that as well. We're just talking about sex and realistically.
Like during coitus.
Yeah, during coitus and the opinions and body functions after coitus.
Post-coital.
Oh, goddamn. and anyway. So one of my favorite phrases that I really want on a t-shirt is what happens when a man is about to orgasm and there's literally a few seconds, like a second and a half to 2 seconds between the, I need to orgasm and I'm orgasming for the vast majority of penis holders. And that time is called ejaculatory inevitability. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in I'm gonna go
oh terrible. It sounds very businesslike.
It does. Excuse me, sir, have you experienced ejaculatory inevitability? I have. In fact, I have. Well, sir, you might be part of a class action lawsuit.
So it's like that point of no return where you're like, yep, this is gonna happen, there is no stopping it.
Yeah
Okay.
I think there's a Queen song that is appropriate here, or a song from Phantom of the Opera. Gonna be a good time now. That's the Queen song, and then the Phantom. Past the point of no return. Enjoying coitus. I'm about to splooge all over your ass. Sorry. Yeah. I think splooge should be used more.
An underutilized word?
It's an underutilized word. I mean, it's so descriptive. It both makes you go, and ugh, at the same time.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
Splooge.
I'll give you that.
And you can spell it multiple ways. Double O's, U with an umlaut. German. Oh. Guten Tag, splooge. Anyway, okay, moving on. Do you have any notes? Did you write any notes about the IA?
I did not, know.
Okay, yeah.
No.
So after orgasm, mm-hmm. many men will roll over and just pass out and fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I liked about the information that we looked up was that's normal.
Yes.
Which is nice.
And also that physical come down happens quicker for men than women typically, yeah. which is why, like, you'll go back to sleep pretty quickly, whereas it might take me a little bit longer, but that's normal for most people.
One of my favorite reasons for that is, well, most sex happens at nighttime.
Touche. And people are tired, yeah, especially yeah. if you're overworked or you have a lot of responsibilities like kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after orgasm, you know, you've had all this pent up energy and maybe anxiety, and it just kind of exits you through your penis.
Yeah. It all gets all that pent up anxiety gets released on orgasm. And so then, you know, you're left with that kind of calming effect afterwards because you no longer are holding on to that anxiety.
Yeah.
You're not that, you know, you just don't have it, which is nice. And then you can feel kind of relaxed.
Yeah. And it does, like Angela said, studies show it does affect men more than it affects ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. And so while we're talking about orgasm, there are a lot of hormones that get released on orgasm. So to get to, you know, give you a little bit of a list here.
I'm going
to
be impressed if you can correctly pronounce all these.
Okay. We have serotonin, oxytocin, norepinephrine, vasopressin, and nitric oxide.
I have trouble with the norepinephrine. I want to call it like noripifrine. <It's>, you know, Kentucky.
Right, right. It's not.
It's norepinephrine.
Yeah, yeah. But particularly the latter ones. So all of these will help you to de-stress and sleep. And so that's, again, some, you know, all those hormones get released and that anxiety gets released. And so all of this kind of leads up and helps you to kind of calm down and be able to sleep afterwards and to be a little more tired, a little more rested. And this goes to your point about that this release is a lot stronger when you're actually having physical sex
right.
than when you're masturbating. So when you're yeah. masturbating, you get it to some degree. But it's not to the same effect.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And additionally, sex, I mean, compared to masturbation, is a more strenuous exercise.
Absolutely.
So you're actually exercising and doing something rather than, you know, just flexing a bit. I don't know. Maybe you masturbate different than I do.
That's true, though. It is a lot more strenuous. So it does make sense that the effects from it would be stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just kind of interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, and another one that also helps to cause the sleepiness is prolactin. So prolactin gets released.
Oh, yes.
And so prolactin, oxytocin, so that will help cause sleepiness as well, which makes you tired afterwards. And they affect the kidneys, so that's why sometimes you feel like you have to pee afterwards.
Yes, that's normal.
Yes.
I did see that. I wrote down, do you have to pee? That's normal. Why? To clean out your urethra. You then go to the bathroom and can't pee, that's also normal. Why? Because your inner sphincter clamps up.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. You got to relax that inner sphincter.
Oh,
okay. It's like holding on. Because you don't want to pee and orgasm at the
same
time.
That's true. That's very true.
Peegasms, I mean, you can do it, I guess. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
I guess you can't do it, probably.
No, probably not, actually. I don't think you can.
Pee or orgasm. Yeah, yeah. You can do an orgasm and pee orgasm. Anyway, yeah. So, interestingly, so the refractory period, or the time it takes before you can have sex again, is also related to the prolactin. So with prolactin, the less you have in your system, the more you will want to go at it again, have a second round or a third round.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that's how, kind of why some people have more longer refractor periods than others. And
that's one of the reasons, yeah, was the amount of prolactin that is released into your system.
And I'm not sure, that just an individual thing, or does that change over time with age and things? Do you know?
I don't know. And I'm also interested to see if prolactin has a experiential. So if you're really enjoying it, if you really like the person, do you have more in your system?
I tend to think probably not, but that's purely a guess.
So as a base here, prolactin is a hormone produced by your pituitary gland. Prolactin causes breasts to grow and develop and causes milk to be made after a baby is born. Normally, both men and women have small amounts of prolactin in their blood. In several studies, we've recently demonstrated that orgasm induces prolactin secretion in healthy males and females. This suggests that prolactin may be a feedback regulator of the refractory period following orgasm. But it doesn't say whether or not there are a lot of papers on it, and I'm not going to focus on reading them right now. But, just think that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
So one last thing that can happen after an orgasm, and this one's my favorite, is a toe cramp. And I think the gentleman has suffered this before.
Yes, that's why I wrote it down, because I was like, oh my God, I even wrote down the gentleman on this one.
And that as well is normal.
Yeah. And so that's because obviously there's a lot of nerve endings that are stimulated during sex and during orgasm. But there's one in particular, the S1, that is stimulated at orgasm. And that one also goes down and it affects your toes as well, which is why, like, the gentleman, man, his toes curl up so hard. And there are times that we've had to stop having sex because he's had cramps.
Toe cramps. It's just hilarious.
So apparently that's normal, and that's because of that S1 nerve.
Yes.
Yes. So that means it's a good thing. So if you have to stop because of toe cramps,
you're doing something
then
right.
You're doing something right. Exactly. Exactly.
So something else that I found interesting was they talked about a change in mood. Mm-hmm. Because of this release of tension and all the hormones, you can have that drop, and you can be sad or emotional, and that can last for a few minutes, a few hours, or a few days. And I find that's really interesting because I've also felt that way. Mm-hmm. After, I've always assumed that after big weekends when we play a lot, that the Monday, Tuesday blues is because of, I guess it's because of me just missing the weekend. But in fact, it could be that, but it could also be the fact that I'm, just kind of like, well.
So one of the hormones that is really affecting you there is that release of dopamine.
Yes.
And so
the dopamine drop.
Yeah. So you get a bit of a drop there. Not a quick way to help that, but if you do exercise regularly, then you do increase the amount of circulating dopamine. And so that may potentially help that to not be as severe. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it kind of makes sense that if you've got more in you, I don't know if that lessens the drop or if that just changes the levels at which the drop is.
Yeah. I mean, I exercise like regularly once a year.
Mm-hmm. That's regular. Sure.
It's interesting too, because looking at some of my experiences, like going to the sauna, and oftentimes, or grinder hookups, oftentimes afterwards you feel really bad. And I always thought it was maybe a guilt thing because of the experience, some sort of internal shame that I have about the experience.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting to think that, oh, well, maybe it's also, or even more of this kind of, hormonal imbalance.
Yeah, that's interesting, because like I said before, like big play weekends, it will sometimes be that, you know, you're going back to work and you're feeling like, oh, this isn't so exciting, and you do feel a little more down. And like I said, I just kind of would chalk it up to just work and return to normal and, you know, missing all the fun we had. But there likely is very much a hormonal aspect to that as well. Mm. Yeah.
So let's take a quick break, and we will come back and talk about the ladies. If you are in need of a new sex toy in your sex toy box, you can go to adamandeve.com And when you pick out your new favorite best friend, throw it in your cart and on checkout, use the checkout code BYTHEBY, BYTHEBI, and you will get the item at 50% off. You'll get free shipping. You'll get some extra toys thrown into your.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Package, and you also get 6 videos on demand so that you have something to watch while you wait for your package to be delivered to your home. That's right. If you go to adamandeve.com, use the checkout code BYTHEBY and get yourself something nice. Something nice right now might be new play friends.
Connection with others.
Connection with others. If you have gotten your vaccines and you're ready to go out and meet some new, fun, sexy play friends, go to altplayground.net, sign up, fill out your little personal card there on the website, and you'll have a great new profile with which to meet sexy singles, couples, and poly groups in your region, or even your outside of your region if you're looking to travel. That's right. Just go to altplayground.net, fill out your card, and find some sexy play friends.
Welcome back.
I'm still here.
And I still have all the energy.
Oh, God. I'm giving you all I got, Captain. I need more power. Fortunately, my power comes from beer. And I don't know where my accent's going, but suddenly I'm Scotty, but British and from the South.
I think you're just making up your own accent.
It's my own accent.
Is this the new Bradford?
No. I hope not. So, let's talk about the ladies. Mm-hmm. What's lady sex like?
Pretty amazing. So if we're talking about after sex, so post-coital.
Okay.
So what will often happen, and this is for both, I think, men and women, but...
I think a lot of these things kind of go both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
They're genderless. Uh-huh. But I'm...
There you go. Yeah, so there is a drop in testosterone and an increase in oxytocin. And oxytocin, many of us know, is what makes us want to cuddle.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why after sex, some people really want to cuddle. Some people like to cuddle more than others. We have that even between us. And I think, you know, that's going to be a difference in how much oxytocin is released.
Who do you think between you and I want to cuddle more?
You.
It's true. You're like, get off me.
I'm okay with cuddling if it's late or if we're like in a more relaxed setting or like at the club. But if we've had a big play session, then I'm like, nah, okay, done. Yeah.
Or if it's in the morning or if it's midday.
Because morning I have to get up and go to work. Come on. It's not that I don't want to be there.
Yeah. That's so funny.
But oxytocin can also cause uterine cramping, which is an interesting one.
Yeah. I thought that was fascinating as well. Mm. Yeah. That's...
Yeah, fortunately, not anything I've ever experienced, but I'm sure many, many women have.
Yeah, so there you go. You're normal, too.
Yeah.
Well, not you.
Well.
But other ladies. Other,
yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't realize that, and that sounds like it kind of sucks.
Yeah, and talking about the cuddling afterwards, so I know Cosmo at one point put out a, you know, if he cuddles, he's a keeper kind of thing. And the question is, you know, why do we want to cuddle? And I think part of that is to build, it's relationship building. And so from a evolutionary point of view, if we have sex and then immediately split up and then you end up with a baby, then you're going to have more difficulty rearing that child by yourself. But if I stick around and we cuddle and we bond on an emotional level, then we will do better, again, evolutionarily, raising a child together because you've got two people feeding the child and protecting and yada, yada, yada.
Fair enough. Okay.
So I think that's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Additionally, the higher level of testosterone you have in your body, the less oxytocin is released.
That makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
So that means that, which is why traditionally, most men don't want to cuddle, and most women do, because they have a higher dosage, I guess, of oxytocin. And it would also explain us, because I'm pretty sure you have a higher testosterone level than I do.
I don't know. It could be not proportionally higher, but maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Based on weight?
Yeah.
What are you saying, Angela?
Maybe. Maybe.
So
also, I do. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to go back to the refractory period. Do you want to continue on this first?
Well, I was going to go back to something different as well, but go ahead.
So I was just going to mention, because this is something I think that a lot of women do feel bad about, is that women also have a refractory period. And so it's just maybe not as visible as with men, because, you know, men, it's easy to tell if they're getting hard again or not. But a lot of women do have that refractory period. Some women are immediately ready for sex again, maybe in a few minutes, a few hours. There are people who are like just once a night, like I'm done and I don't, you know, want to be touched again. So that is normal and there is a big range. But I think that in society, we expect women to always be ready for sex.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. In fact, it's often not the case. You know, we need time to recover and for our bodies to kind of get back to normal as well first.
But conversely, women are much more commonly multi-orgasmic than men.
True.
So the percentage of men who can immediately have an orgasm after having an orgasm is, I think it was something less than 1%. Whereas women, it's a much higher percentage. Heck, it could be 20% and it would still be, you know, significantly higher.
That's true.
So I think that was something that was kind of fascinating. Additionally, so one of the reason that women, so again, we talked about it in the early first half of this podcast, where men have an orgasm, they fall asleep. Mm-hmm. One of the, again, another reason that women might not, a 2005, I think it's, a study in 2005 in the Netherlands showed that women were more focused during sex because they were trying to reach orgasm. So they focus on their body, their feelings and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they're trying to reach an orgasm. So after orgasm, they've got that residual focus left behind. So they might not be as tired.
Yeah. And it can take a little bit to reset afterwards. Like once you kind of have that focus and it's like, okay, now I don't have to focus as much. But that's interesting that you say that women's brains are more focused on reaching orgasm, because women don't always orgasm. And, and like, in fact, in this particular space gave us a statistic of, and you'll probably get slightly different numbers depending on where you're looking, but 50% of women orgasm regularly, 20% orgasm rarely, 20% orgasm consistently, and 5% never orgasm. And there's also a missing 5%, so we're going to assume they're unknown or did not disclose. But that means that, I mean, if you have 50% of women are regularly orgasming and 20% consistently, whatever consistent looks like for them, you know, that's a fair number of women who don't orgasm or who very rarely orgasm. So it can take a lot more focus to try to get there, but it also may be that your body, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And it may not happen all the time. And so some of it may be trying to work out, when does it happen, when does it not? Is, you know, can we help that along? Is there something we can do to help it? Or is it just a seemingly random thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So the more you know.
The more you know. What? Which percentage are you? Are you consistently or constantly? What was the other one?
Consistently or regular?
Yeah, which one are you?
I'm going to say both. But if I had to choose between the two, I would say regular.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But regularly consistent? God. Mm-hmm. So if we're also looking at what happens during orgasm, so women will often have like a rapid rhythmic contractions, and those contractions go all the way through the body. And so that's definitely something that can happen. And that's also where some of the multi-orgasmic comes in, because sometimes, like I know for me, I'll be in the middle of an orgasm, and if I keep that stimulation going, I can get on the rolling orgasm thing. And then it's just like I'm just quivering all over, and it's really, really kind of awesome.
It's like, that's my favorite ride at Disneyland.
Yeah.
I love it.
And also, a lot of women, in fact, I would say most women, have a bit of female ejaculation. And so that's kind of a small amount of milky liquid. And in fact, you very often won't see it. You may not notice it, depending on how you're playing. Again, if you're doing penis and vagina sex and the, you know, male comes inside of you, then you're really not going to notice it at all. Mm. But if you're playing with fingers, you're playing with toys, if you're going down on someone, then you'll very often notice that little bit of milky liquid. And it is very different than squirting.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little bit and it's kind of milky.
Your face is cracking me up. You're adorable. Uh-huh. So one thing that I found that was interesting was during sex, women's breasts can increase by 25%.
I've never noticed this, but now I really, really want to pay attention.
Now, yeah, I feel like we should measure you like with calipers.
Before and after.
Before, after, during. Uh-huh. Yeah, in different positions.
And it is up to 25%.
I know. That's yeah. Fair enough. So what we did also learn was where that blood comes from. Clearly, it comes from the clitoris, which, according to this research, the clitoris can become very small and almost disappear.
Yeah.
Which I've also noticed that.
Yeah.
I always imagine the clitoris is very similar to testicles. Because as you're about to orgasm, for men, the testicles go up into the body and the scrotum becomes really tight. And it's like, they're like, get me out of here. I've got to run away. And then you orgasm. And I've noticed on ladies that the clitoris just kind of, it may start out giant.
Mm-hmm.
And then as, if you're going down on them, especially as you do, it'll become harder and harder to find.
Yeah.
It's like hide and seek, but the best kind of hide and seek. There you are. Hello.
But hopefully if you're there, you don't lose it. It's like,
my sight is based on movement. Mm-hmm. I'm like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, where'd the clitoris go?
So yeah, also in addition to the breast swelling a bit, also
Welcome to pubic park.
Oh God, fuck's sake.
Sorry.
I was going to say, in addition to the breast swelling a bit, also the nipples were very often get to be very sensitive. So that was, for yes. me, one of the things that I really liked about having a nipple piercing, which, spoiler alert, I have taken it out recently.
Wah, wah.
But I liked the fact that there were different sensations between the pierced one and the not pierced one. Mm. But I will definitely say that even though my nipples are sensitive anyway, and there's a lot of feeling there, it does get magnified during orgasm and when I'm close to orgasm.
So just to kind of touch on the nipple piercing, do you want to explain why you took it out?
Well, I had an infection that was near the piercing. It wasn't actually in the, the hole or whatever through the nipple, but it was near it, and it just never cleared up, and it just was always aggravated, it seemed like, by the actual piercing itself or by the bar that was in there. And so even lots of cleaning, lots of antibiotics and whatevers, it just go away, come back, go away, come back. And so I just figured it was just easier to get rid of it.
Are you going
to
get it pierced again?
Not in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I will say, look, I really appreciated the look of it, but it was always one of those things that I was always afraid of it playing. So I pretty much ignored that breast for a year.
Well, the interesting thing, but it was good for several years before the infection started happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then after that, I was like, I don't want anybody to play with it. Right. So, yeah. So it was good for a number of years and then started having issues. So,
yeah. So I was always afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I liked the way it looked, but I think it's more fun to play with now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's back to au naturel.
Au naturel.
Yeah.
Which is still, I like it a lot.
I do too. I like to play with them no matter what. I like other people to play with them.
So the last thing I have in my notes that I took here is something that we've already kind of touched on, which is some women can feel a slump after sex, and this is an emotional slump, but men are the ones that really seem to suffer from depression. And like I said before, up to a week. And I'm going to say this is probably not a chemical thing as much as it is a societal thing. If a woman feels depressed or bad, I think mm-hmm. she's more likely to seek out help and talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if a man does, he's more likely to internalize it. I'm speaking for myself. You know, I'm more likely to internalize it and figure there's something wrong with me. Which I guess ladies also figure there's something wrong with them, but then they may talk to somebody about it. Whereas fellas, we just don't. But we should.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I encourage you to.
And if you need to, you can join our Discord chat.
Right. It's a really great thing.
So not necessarily from this same piece of research, but I did want to just, while we're talking about orgasm, just bring up some of the typical signs of orgasm. So when you're having sex with somebody, what are some of the signs, Bradford, that you're getting close to orgasm or that they're getting close to orgasm?
So auditory, copulatory vocalizations.
Uh-huh. Say that 5 times fast.
I can't remember what it is. I looked it up earlier. Copulatory vocalizations. There uh-huh. you go. The, you know, the, oh gods, I'm coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they might actually tell you. Other things might be a flushed chest. So blushing or flushing on the chest or breasts, mm-hmm. doesn't matter your gender. That just happens. Sweaty palms,
increased pulse, higher rate of breathing.
I think your nose turns red. I think that is a thing.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Okay. I'm going to watch for this now.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. I'm pretty sure that is.
Well, we could just have sex and find out.
We could. Are you going to hold like a color palette up to my nose?
Maybe.
Is it going to be like the paint swatches you get at the paint store?
Well, we can just video it and then see if your nose changes color when you get close to orgasm.
That's so weird. So I just looking here, it there's a lot of sex flush and redness. It does not. I did search red nose during sex. My Google search history. Jesus Christ, man.
Like, that's only when it's that time of the month, Bradford. And,
yes.
And then the last sign that I had for here was like just the muscle tension. Because again, you've got like the toe cramping and all that stuff. So because all of those nerves are being stimulated. And then of course, again, if you're going down on someone, if you're going down on a female, then you might notice that kind of milky substance.
So I did find, just to add to some of this, talking about married people having sex. Mm. So if you're married, I don't know if this is going to be good news for you or bad news for you, but this is the more often a couple has sex, the more likely the wife is to experience an orgasm, or the lady, I should say, to experience an orgasm.
Okay.
Which I kind of feel like that might be a duh.
Well, that's statistical, right?
Yeah, because practice makes perfect.
Well, if you have an orgasm, say 50% of the time, and you have sex 3-4 times, you're going to have 2 orgasms. If you have sex 6 times in a week, you're going to have 3 orgasms. So it makes sense, like if you have sex more, you're going to have more orgasms, because it's all a percentage of what you normally would.
I'm just going to call you out because you started out with an odd number. And I was like, I'm excited to see where this goes. You're going to have an orgasm 1.5 times. God damn it. Damn you, math. Curse you, math. Yeah,
that's why I went back to even numbers.
But well, yes, you're absolutely right.
So if you have sex 3 times a week, then 1 week you're going to have 1 orgasm and the other week you're going to have 2.
That's right.
And it there averages out to 1.5.
Oh my God, that is so good.
So just another fun tidbit that I saw in one study, and again, this was one study, I don't know how truly scientific it is, but I like the idea of this, is that if you have sex more frequently, it will increase your immunity. Because This study said that even having sex 1 to 2 times per week would give you a 30% increase in immunoglobulin A, which strengthens immunity. I don't know if that's really true, but I like the idea of this. So let's have sex and strengthen our immune systems.
So if you're curious as to who all is having sex 1 or 2 times per week, uh-huh. I found a chart that gives how often people have sex.
Okay.
And this, again, this is some marriage website. So 92% of couples, mm-hmm. I'm now looking at this and seeing that this math does not add up. I'm not exactly sure what this even means. Percentage, 92% have sex at least 2 times per month.
Okay.
78%, which already were over 100%.
Okay, but to go on, what does it say?
Is 4 times per month.
Right, but if you've had sex at least 2 times per month, you could still be having sex 4 times a month. Oh,
look at you, compounding interest. Fair enough.
Some people get counted in both categories,
okay.
But not everyone, because we've dropped off, 14%?
Wow, you did math fast. Okay, next up, 60% of folks are having sex 6 times a month.
Mm-hmm, so we've lost another 18%.
44% of folks are having sex 8 times per month.
Okay. We've lost 16%.
Fuck you. I hate you so badly. And 23% are having sex at least 10 times a month.
So 21% less. Yeah. So we've gone from 92 to 23%, yeah. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what that difference is?
No.
69.
I have a feeling there are people screaming at home, you dumbass, you can't do simple math. No, I can't. Fuck you. That's why I have a calculator. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah, so 23% of people are having sex 10 times per month, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or 23% of couples, I should say,
oh, are having
sex
right.
10 times.
Are they having sex with each other or just in general?
Maybe.
Because, it could be their other partners, you know.
That's correct. So just to add to your... Earlier, you were talking about the immune system
and
orgasms.
Did you find something more about that?
I did. So when you orgasm, immediately before an orgasm, your oxytocin levels surge to 5 times their normal levels.
Yeah.
Oxytocin releases endorphins, and I'm going to say this word, and you all are going to laugh at me, corticosteroids. Yeah. Which alleviate arthritis, chronic back pain, migraines, and menstrual cramps. People who have sex 1 to 2 times a week have 30% higher levels of immunoglobulin A. It's a boost the immune system kind of thing. Or it's the Fonzie saying immunoglobulin. increased frequency of sexual intercourse correlates with a decrease in breast cancer in a study of women who had never given birth. Mm-hmm. Men in their 20s can reduce their chance of prostate cancer by 1/3 if they ejaculate more than 5 times a week.
That's a fair bit. All right.
Yeah. Men who orgasm twice a week have a 50% lower chance of mortality than those who climax once per month.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So all the bad stuff comes out.
That's yeah.
And there you are swallowing it.
You're expelling all the evil.
The power of Christ compels ye. So when people were with their spouses or partners, their blood pressure lowered slightly. And then other physical benefits of love and sex. And I love these.
Oh, God. These okay. I look forward to this.
1, an improved sense of smell.
Oh.
I have no idea how they tested that.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, does that mean you smell better or you smell better?
You smell more things?
2, weight loss and fitness. Clearly, I need to be around more loved ones.
Sexercise.
I need to have sex more. Less depression. Improved dental hygiene. Improved sleeping. Improved reproductive health. Increased beauty, gratitude leads to health.
There you go. More sex. Just have more sex.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of an interesting few little notes things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And lastly, sex 3+ times a week reduces men's risks of heart attack or stroke by 50%.
There you go. Sex. Have sex.
Have sex with your partner, save their life.
Have lots of sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a good plan.
I agree. I mean, it's like
life goals.
We should definitely do this. Let's go save my life. Oh my God.
Done.
Wasn't that an Elton John song? Someone saved my life tonight.
Was it?
Did you know?
I don't know.
That's the song.
Okay.
Yeah, so do you have any other random sex facts?
No.
Cool.
Let's go have sex.
Let's go have
sex. Let's save your life.
Clear! look, if you liked this podcast, let us know. We can do more of them. I like the facts ones. I think the facts ones are kind of fun and funny. We don't always have references as to where these facts come from, but they came from the internet, and the internet's never wrong, right?
It's all true.
It's all true. If you want to join us and tell us directly how you felt about this podcast, you can join our Discord by supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/bytheby podcast. And you'll get a Discord link when you support us there. Or you can email us theatomsoflove@gmail.com or message us on any of our socials on Instagram, Facebooks, and the Twitterverse. We are @bytheby podcast. Or you can go to our website, www.bytheby.com.au, and go to the Contact Us page, and we'll see it there. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have more sex.
Have more sex.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.